The California sun was beginning to lose its heat as the shadows stretched long over the pavement of a quiet San Lorenzo neighborhood. It was the kind of evening where the routine of the day usually settles into the stillness of the night. But the silence was broken by the sharp, rhythmic pulse of emergency lights. When I arrived at the scene, the air was heavy with the smell of damp asphalt and the unmistakable tension that follows a sudden act of violence. There was a man lying near a vehicle, his life having slipped away in a moment of chaos that the neighbors initially described as a confrontation gone wrong. At first glance, the scattered glass and the positioning of the body suggested a robbery that had spiraled out of control. A tragic but common occurrence in the geography of modern crime. However, as I looked closer at the angles and the absence of certain expected variables, the simplicity of that theory began to erode. Something about the precision of the event felt deliberate, a calculated strike disguised as a random encounter. It was the first stitch in a much larger fabric that we would have to unwrap, starting with the identity of the man on the ground and the hidden life he led. Aidan Al-Hakim was a businessman, a father, and a husband, but he was also the target of a darkness that had been closing in on him long before the first shot was fired. The investigation into the death of Aidan Al-Hakim began on October 17, 2022, with the cold efficiency required for a homicide scene. We spent the first several hours documenting the perimeter of the 17300 block of Via Lucas, where Al-Hakim had been found with fatal gunshot wounds. The initial reports from dispatch indicated a possible carjacking or a street robbery, a narrative that seemed to fit the surface-level evidence of a struggle near his car. My team and I moved through the standard protocols, collecting shell casings and canvassing the nearby houses for any witnesses who might have seen a fleeing suspect or a getaway vehicle. Al-Hakim was a 40-year-old man who operated a successful business and was well regarded in the community, which made the motive of a random robbery feel increasingly thin as we dug into his background. We interviewed his associates and his family, looking for any signs of financial distress or personal feuds that could have painted a target on his back. Every lead we followed during those first 48 hours seemed to loop back to a void, as Al-Hakim had no known enemies and no history of involvement in criminal activity. The neighborhood was suburban and generally safe, making the brazen nature of the afternoon shooting even more jarring for the residents. We processed the victim's vehicle for prints and DNA, hoping to find a trace of an intruder, but the results were frustratingly clean. It became clear that if this was a robbery, it was one executed with a level of foresight that exceeded the typical desperate crime of opportunity. We were looking for a ghost in a city full of people, and the lack of an immediate suspect forced us to broaden our search to the digital and physical movements of everyone in Al-Hakim's inner circle. The breakthrough did not come from a witness statement or a fingerprint, but from the silent testimony of technology that Al-Hakim's killers did not fully account for during their planning. As we widened our net, we recovered surveillance footage from several blocks away that showed a silver vehicle trailing Al-Hakim's car with a persistence that was far from accidental. This visual evidence allowed us to track the movements of the suspects before and after the shooting, leading us to a series of digital breadcrumbs that shattered the robbery theory entirely. We obtained search warrants for phone records and location data, which revealed a high-frequency exchange of messages between individuals who had no logical reason to be communicating. The most chilling evidence was the discovery of a GPS tracking device that had been clandestinely attached to Al-Hakim's vehicle, allowing his movements to be monitored in real time by his killers. This wasn't a crime of chance. It was a coordinated hit that had been orchestrated over several weeks with a terrifying level of logistical detail. As we analyzed the data from the suspect's phones, we found photos of Al-Hakim's home and workplace, along with discussions about his daily schedule and the best locations to intercept him. The evidence pointed directly toward a conspiracy involving his own wife, Maria Escar, and two other men, Jose Gurdado, and a third accomplice who acted as the triggerman. The robbery was a staged performance, a narrative designed to mask a cold-blooded assassination motivated by the prospect of a significant life insurance payout. We watched the footage of the suspects meeting in parking lots to exchange information. Their movements synchronized with the precision of a military operation. The betrayal was absolute, documented in the cold metadata of cellular towers and the high-definition clarity of private security cameras that captured the silver car lurking in the shadows of San Lorenzo. The finality of the case arrived not with a dramatic confession, but with the steady accumulation of facts that left no room for denial or alternative explanations. Maria Esker and her accomplices were taken into custody after the evidence of the tracking device and the coordinated phone logs became undeniable. The motive was as old as crime itself, rooted in greed and the calculated removal of a human life for financial gain. Yet the execution had been modern and multifaceted. We presented the findings to the district attorney, showing how the group had meticulously planned the route and the timing to ensure Al-Hakim would be isolated at the moment of the attack. During the legal proceedings, the timeline we constructed from the digital evidence held firm, tracing the conspiracy from its inception in late September to the final moments on Via Lucas. The court heard how the suspects had practiced the approach and how the tracking device provided the final signal for the killers to move into position. There was no emotional outburst or plea for mercy that could outweigh the clinical reality of the GPS pings and the recovered messages. Aiden Al-Hakim was a man who worked to provide for his family, unaware that the very person he shared his life with was navigating his end through a smartphone screen. The sentencing brought a close to the police work, ensuring that those involved would remain behind bars for the remainder of their lives. We packed the files away, another case resolved by the intersection of traditional detective work and the indisputable records of the digital age. The street in San Lorenzo returned to its quiet routine, though the memory of that October evening remained etched in the records as a reminder of how easily a facade of normalcy can hide a profound and lethal betrayal.